The phone is ringing.
Hey, there's... Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. My preamble was a little bit long today.
Yeah.
So you might want to trim it down a bit.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, I know. If you have the final... What was it? It was, I think it was Terry Gilliam. Gilliam,
Terry
sorry.
Of Monty Python?
Yeah, who's Terry Gilliam? No, Terry Gilliam from Monty Python. Yeah. I was talking to Tom Stoppard, and they were arguing about the script. We've talked about this before.
For the script for Brazil?
Brazil, that's right.
Okay.
And eventually, Terry Gilliam said, well, I'm going to be the one editing it, so I'll win no matter what. And there we are.
That's usually how
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween! That's usually how I finish arguments with Cole when we're talking about the panel jumper.
Exactly.
I have final cut.
Yeah, this is the, you know, hey, why don't you edit your own stuff if you don't like what I do with it?
Exactly.
People might say. So it's, we've talked about this through text. Normally, you and I communicate mostly on podcasts because we don't want to lose any of this sweet, sweet content.
I know. Any of that gold we constantly talk about.
It's in the 30s right now in Illinois.
And so the reason we brought that up is because I asked if we were recording today because it's prime trick-or-treating time right now.
Right. And what happened? I will say this. My stepmom was over and she asked Betty, hey, are you planning on trick-or-treating? To which Betty said something to the effect of, what do you think?
Sassy.
Because it's like 30 out.
We
might go trick-or-treating tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Is there a business there, like a mall or something, that has indoor trick-or-treating?
You know, I don't think so. One of the things I'll say is that we've covered this, I believe, on the podcast before. Edwardsville, where I live, doesn't do trick-or-treating on Halloween normally anyway.
We have talked about that.
They normally do it the day before Halloween, but this year they're doing it on Friday anyway. So there was already the plan to have it on Friday.
Dominion.
But I don't know what the turnout to the parade is going to be. But the parade is still going on.
Is it scheduled to be scheduled? Is it still anticipated 30-degree weather?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's they're still doing it, even though it's going to be in the 30s.
I mean, I grew up here in the Seattle area, technically Olympia, and when I was growing up, it was not uncommon for it to be raining during Halloween. And
yeah,
so
I can imagine.
You would get your costume all done up, but then you go out wearing a raincoat over it.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember Ghosty? Of course you remember Ghosty.
Of course.
Ghosty, for those who don't know, Annex Theater's haunted house fundraiser.
Which we performed in once.
Yes. I designed at least one of my... Oh, wait a second. Yeah, so there was the Ghosty that was more of a cabaret type thing. In fact, there are pictures of us. Maybe, Ben, you probably have that picture somewhere.
Yeah. Are you talking about the first one that happened in that house?
Yeah, that's the one that I was thinking of.
That was, I think, either the first... Ghosty, the very first one, or the second one? I can't remember how many were in that house.
I believe the one that was in the house was the first one. And I remember it was cold in the house, and I designed my costume around me wearing a warm parka. but there's a thing about a parka when it's all the way up, and you can't see the face at all, it makes it kind of spooky.
Well, if and it's the ghostly performance I'm thinking of, nobody could see what you were wearing. Because weren't you in, like, a closet or something, and there was, like, a mail slot or some part of the door that opened? And so all I remember from this performance is just, like, seeing your hands or something.
Yes.
I don't remember seeing your entire body.
I was chained up.
Yeah.
And then I would get out of the chains. And that was the thing, is that I could leave sometimes and chase after people.
Right.
Well, and they weren't expecting that.
No.
But then Jillian Jorgensen would come and find me and make me go back.
Right. That was her job. That was actually, I mean, that first ghostie was super fun. I have lots of great pictures from that.
Oh, cool.
Because
cool.
The house that it was in, Jillian Jorgensen's house, I believe at that time it was called the Gilded Lily.
Yes.
But it came into the family as the Cracker Jack house.
That's right.
We assumed that it was a speakeasy at some point because there were these crazy locks on the doors in the basement. There was even like, you know, when you watch a movie from like the 30s or the 20s and people are going to a secret place, there's a door that's got a little slidey lookout.
Yep.
The basement door had something like this. There was a locking mechanism where you can lock or unlock the basement door from the ground floor. And there was even a sub-basement, which none of us knew about until after they had moved out of that house.
Oh, sub-basement.
It was a crazy old house. It had, like, you know, a butler's or a maid's quarters at the very top of the stairs. And sadly, that house is no more. It's now townhomes.
Now, let me ask you a question. I might have been mistaken when there was a thing that you and I performed at. Was that Ghostie also called Ghostie?
Yeah,
or was it called something else?
That edition of Ghostie graduated to Act Theater.
Ah, okay.
So, yes, we were in Act. And oddly enough, they didn't let us play in the same room as everybody else. We were in this weird ante room.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
Yeah.
Because we were too disturbing, I think. That's probably not why, but I like to think so. A little bit of business.
Yeah.
Do you remember, astute listeners will remember, but do you remember, Ben, when I was out on the front lawn and I was like, is that AJ Schnock? And I was talking about how a guy in a station wagon with a mounted camera drove by.
I do remember
that.
I
thought it was AJ Schnock.
Yeah.
It was, in fact,
was it
AJ Schnock? Yes. And he gave me a little bit of a tidbit of information. The Rube Goldberg machine video for OK Go that he produced.
Yeah.
The ideas of it were from his wife, and apparently his wife came up with most of those ideas.
Really?
For the OK Go videos, which leads me to believe, and I don't know for sure, but I think his wife might be the sister of one of the band members.
Is his wife the choreographer?
Well, that's the thing. Is she?
Well, that's
maybe
a question for
she
you.
Is. Well, I don't know, because I didn't really think about it at the time when he said that she was responsible for it. But that's the thing, is that if his wife is the sister of one of the band members and is the choreographer, then that is who she is.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well,
it seems to imply that.
Is
what I'm saying.
I remember when their first video came out with the treadmills, it was choreographed by, and I couldn't remember this, but it was either like the wife or the sister or a relative of one of the band members.
Right. And so I don't know if she's the choreographer or if she directed them or what, but apparently the band one was her idea. It may not have been like all of the videos, but I think here's the thing. This is the epitome of keeping it wrong, because I don't know if any of this is true, but I think the Rube Goldberg machine video,
yeah,
was off of their second album.
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
And I think he said all the ones from that album. So the one with the band and the people in the ghillie suits and stuff like that, all of that stuff was stuff that his wife did. And if you're listening to this, AJ Schnock, and I got any of that wrong, it's my fault. It's not your fault. This isn't what you said. This is me reporting what you said, and I could be wrong.
Well, did you talk to him about why he was driving a camera car down your street?
No, I just asked him if he was, and he said yes, and that was all. All
right.
I mean, he was with a woman I believe was his mom, and they were shopping, and I kind of just, interrupted them, basically, to talk to him. So I didn't want to stay too long.
You just ran into him in Edwardsville?
Yeah, he was at the Deerbergs.
Gotcha.
When I was at the Deerbergs, which is a grocery store. There's a Deerbergs and there's a Schnucks. Oh, more information from Edwardsville, Ben.
Yeah.
Do you remember the two Schnucks? There is a Schnucks and then there's another Schnucks right next to it.
I do not.
Do you remember us talking about this?
I do not.
Ever?
No.
Okay. So there's a grocery store called Shop and Save.
Yeah.
And Schnucks, a local grocery store, bought all of the instances of Shop and Save in the area.
Okay.
It just so happens that in Edwardsville, the Schnucks and the Shop and Save are right next to each other. So for a while, there were two Schnucks that were right next to each
other. Two independent stores?
Two independent stores.
That's crazy.
Right next to each other.
Well, who do they think they are? Starbucks?
Well, yeah, exactly. But, entire grocery stores, which is weird. But the thing is that the purchased Shop and Save that became a Schnucks, it had the Schnucks sign and everything, but it never stopped feeling like that old Shop and Save, if that makes sense. They
didn't do a lot of interior remodeling or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah.
All the same food that they used to sell, the same employees pretty much. Meanwhile, they were renovating the old Schnucks, which was weird because they outright purchased the Shop and Save, but they're still leasing the building for the Schnucks. And what an insider told me is that the building is owned by a group that also owns the Schnucks. So even though Schnucks, quote unquote, doesn't own the building, they can still do basically whatever they want to because they're in the family.
Boy,
if that makes sense.
What a hot tip from not every podcast has a Edwardsville real estate insider.
Exactly. Good luck finding some other show that has that. You know, I'm still sad about the fact that we don't have a Fresh Time. Do you know what Fresh Time is?
I do not.
Fresh Time is like, your...
It's like a PCC
Yeah, exactly.
Met like, Market or something.
Except that it's a chain-ish thing. So it's not a Whole Foods, but it's similar.
Okay.
Trader Joe's kind of thing. And Edwardsville was going to get one, and then it didn't.
Oh, no.
It's very sad. And nobody knows why. It's pretty weird.
Somebody knows why. And if you know why, email us.
Yeah, email us at Ben's email at yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Yep. That's the one.
Hey. And speaking about which, I don't know if Jennifer knows we're doing the podcast today. So we may not have corrections.
I can tell you that we do not.
No corrections. It's my fault. I didn't tell her.
That's all right.
We were doing it. We disrupted the cycle for a little bit, and now...
Yeah.
And who's to say what's coming next? So, instead, a little bit of me trivia again. Did you know that if you use certain brands of mouthwash, it will kill off the... some sort of bacteria in your mouth, which will then cause yeast to grow in your mouth and turn your tongue orange?
Oh my God. Is this something you had to learn firsthand?
Hey, let's not talk about how I know about this, Ben. Let's just say it's a fact.
If one were to avoid this kind of mouthwash, what brand or what type should one avoid?
Oh, I don't want to get any mouthwashes in trouble. It was Crest Total Care, I think.
Say goodbye to all of our mouthwash sponsors.
But here's the thing is that, because it's one of those things of like, oh, I must have been eating Cheetos. I wasn't eating Cheetos. You know, like that. So
right. It's
weird because it is, you're trying to do oral hygiene stuff and yet problems.
Yeah.
Okay. So on a brighter note. There is a question I have for you.
Yeah.
About the news,
oh,
Ben.
God.
Is anything happening in the news? because we're at the point again where I am pretty much completely unplugged news wise.
Well, all the news is basically the same news. There's two big pieces of news. One is I don't know how to phrase this in the form of a question. I'll just say this. We've been talking about our president and the ongoing situation that he has found himself in.
Ah, yes. Well,
just today, the something big happened.
Oh.
Capitol Hill.
Huh. Wait, in Capitol Hill?
Washington, D.C.'s Capitol Hill.
Cal Anderson Park. Okay, yeah. that's a little joke for our friends in Seattle.
Hello, hey. Friends who aren't in Seattle.
Let's see what happened. Did an official thing, did they finally call something a thing?
I think that's why, I really shouldn't have started this because I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'm just going to say what I think happened or what I remember hearing from the news this morning is that they started to, they voted on the articles of impeachment. Impeachment. Ah. And so it's just a continuation of the process. That's the biggest
thing. What was the result of the voting?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
There we go. That's great.
I haven't been plugged. Into the news at all. We did it this morning.
I love the fact that I'm mad at you for not knowing what I specifically stated that I'm not. Yeah. So
there
sorry,
are
man.
Wildfires in California. The Washington Nationals won the World Series last night.
The Washington Nationals, is that Washington D.C.
Washington D.C. Nationals?
Yeah. Interesting.
The former Montreal Expos.
I'm about to blow my nose. One second.
Wow, riveting radio.
Hey, minute 17. Trigger warning.
Minute 17? Oh, yeah, minute 17. I thought you were talking about 1 minute 17 seconds.
No. At minute 17.
Yeah.
Speaking of trigger warnings and minute 17, how's your not watching Watchmen going? Still,
I'm not watching Watchmen, but do you know what I started doing?
Oh, what's that? Go ahead.
Well, see if you can guess.
Are watching something?
No.
Oh, did you get your Oculus Quest?
No, but that's always on the list. If I ever find myself within a little bit of extra money. No, I started reading Watchmen.
Oh, hey, you know what? That's the next best thing. In fact, probably one would say the first best thing.
Yeah. I picked it up. We recorded the Perfect Bound podcast last week, so I picked up a copy of Watchmen while I was there, as well as Kaiju Max Episode 4 and Lock and Key Volume 3.
Oh, yeah. How are you finding Watchmen so far? Pretty good?
Well, I've only read the first issue.
Okay. Well, still, that's... Wait, the first issue?
The first comic.
How are you reading it?
It's a trade. It's a really thick trade.
Okay, good.
But I've only read the first comic, the first one. Number one. Watchmen number one.
That's fine enough, I would say.
I just started last night. I didn't have a lot of time to read before I got tired and went to sleep.
Well, hey, it's worth it, and I'm glad that you've picked it up and are taking an interest in it. But here's the thing I was going to say. Guess what I watched over the weekend?
What did you watch?
Chernobyl!
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about it now.
Let's talk about Chernobyl.
Okay, spoilers for Chernobyl.
Have you listened to the podcast hosted by Peter Sagal and, Craig Mazin?
No, I have not.
The creative Chernobyl. You should listen. Check out the podcast. They do an episode, they do a podcast episode for every TV episode, and does fill in a lot of the gaps and answer some questions.
That guy apparently does a podcast on screenwriting, also.
Oh, really?
And sometimes when people do podcasts on screenwriting, you're like, what have you done that makes you deserve to do a podcast?
Why are you
on screenwriting?
The expert?
Yeah, this is why he's the expert. It's here's something I'd like to say about Chernobyl really quick.
Yeah.
They really didn't stop themselves from making the guy with the mustache just a complete asshole.
Which one was for sure? Which one was the guy with the mustache?
The guy who was on trial eventually. He's in the control room.
Yeah.
No redeeming qualities. Never once.
That's the thing about the podcast
I liked it.
You listen to the podcast and you're like, nope, that's exactly what happened. That is exactly what he said. Some of the dialogue in that control room is word for word. I mean, granted, they were speaking Russian in the actual controller room, and the show was in English, so there's probably some translation, but some things that are lost in translation. But yeah, no, that dude was like the biggest jerk.
Yeah, and it just incredible. I loved the fact that they didn't feel the need to make him sympathetic.
Right. We watched,
you know, but.
Blair and I watched the first episode together, and after all the grossness of the people with the radiation sickness, she noped out, so I got to watch it
Jennifer,
on my own.
Jennifer noped out too, but for a different reason. So this is kind of stealing her thunder a little bit, because I'm sure that she would talk about it better. But she's in the garage right now. She grew up in Germany.
Okay.
And was in Germany when Chernobyl happened.
Yeah, that's a little bit too close for comfort.
And let me tell you, interestingly enough, a family member of hers recently had thyroid cancer.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Hey, Betty! I'm going to do something really quick. Betty! Oh, this is not going to happen. Okay, Ben, you're going to hear me talk to my dad on the other end, Vamp.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, he hung up.
He hung up?
So I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to wait.
Do we need to pause?
For him to try to call back. I don't want to pause.
Okay.
So yeah. Some family stuff is happening. Right now.
Okay.
But without getting into details,
is this
it's kind of
concerning the thing you told me about off air a few weeks ago?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's one of those things of like, I've already done all that I can.
Right.
And so I'm not sure what else to do. And so I'm not sure. I was going to talk to him and have Betty vamp with you while that was happening. But what I'm thinking is that there might be a might be a voicemail that's
there.
Oh wait, I'm calling him on accident.
Has he gone away? Has Paul left me? Maybe I went too far.
Okay, Ben. Sorry about this.
And I didn't. I actually
started calling my dad on accident. Hey,
I don't see how that
dad,
would
how's it going?
Work unless.
Okay, just so that you know, I am doing
I'm
a podcast
gonna go
right now.
I'm just going to go ahead and talk now.
But nobody can hear you. They can only hear me.
And about the jerk
who works in my building. I accidentally called you back. So sorry.
I had to borrow a car.
Is there anything that
and
you
I don't
need
have
to do right now, or can I give you a call back when I?
But I gave that up in an attempt to save a little bit of money, and because there's
right.
so much construction
I'll
around
talk
my
to
apartment,
you, when
I
I'm
was
done
getting
here.
Tired of trying
right,
to
love you, Dad.
Get back to my house to park.
And we're back.
I got 1/8 into a story. So
is everything
cool?
All I asked him was if he needed me to do anything immediately or was he going to tell me some stuff. He said he was just going to tell me some stuff. And so I said that I would give him a call back after the podcast was over.
Okay.
But yeah, you never know. You never know. Do you need me to, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Although here, without getting into details, Ben, let me just say this. There is a time eventually, where at some point in time you gotta go, okay, you know what, I ain't got nothing for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just gonna use a metaphor. let's say that somebody is in a boat and they've got a electric drill, and every so often they drill a hole in their boat, and they're like, oh, this hole is in the bottom of my boat now. You go, well, you just drilled a hole in your boat. That's what's happening. And they're like, okay, so what do I do now? Okay, well, I guess plug the hole. Okay, and then they plug the hole, and then they drill another hole, and they're like, these holes keep happening. And you're like, well, you're... I would suggest, and they say to you, you're good at holes. You're good at knowing how to plug up holes. How do I do this? And it's one of those things where you're like, my advice is to not drill anymore. And then they say, well, I can't not drill the holes because I have this drill. What else am I supposed to do with it? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it feels very futile.
There's
a Sisyphean effort.
But also, you reminded me that this, you know, our podcast is called the Goody Lawrence Podcast. But if we wanted to give it a subtitle, I think it could be Without Getting Into Details.
Exactly. Yeah. And we do a pretty good, it leaves some mystery for the people. And here's the thing. If you're a longtime listener, you'll know that if you listen to enough episodes of the podcast, some of the things that were surprising and weird become understandable, if that makes sense. Also, the furnace has kicked on again.
Oh, good.
Enjoy that soundscape, if you will.
I've got the space heater going, but fortunately, this is actually a rare quiet time in the theater. Sometimes when I'm recording with you, there's a lot happening, but it's pretty quiet now.
I think what's happening is I can hear the water also running through the pipes.
Yeah.
I think someone's taking a bath.
Well, if someone was taking a bath, water wouldn't be running through the pipes, would it? Oh, you mean going into the pass and not the drain. Going into the bath and not the drain.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Although, you know what? That thing that I think is water, it might actually be air coming through the vent in this room, and it's just very loud.
There's just a lot of interesting noises there in the Goody Pratt household.
Exactly. Soundscapes, Ben. Very interesting soundscapes for the people.
Sound escape.
But man, just looking at this noise on the podcast,
yeah.
It's very fuzzy. There's a lot of fuzziness going on. Oh, and also I didn't record with the recorder this time as a backup. But suffice it to say, the backup would also have furnace noise on it.
But the last couple of shows, you haven't needed the backup, right? So you've got the whole process figured out.
And they sound okay.
How would I know? I don't listen to them.
Yeah, who does? Hey. Okay, now this is another call from Seattle, Washington, but I think...
What?
In this case, it's... You're not recording my side of the conversation, are you?
I am.
Okay. Let's find out what happens when I conference them in.
Uh-oh.
Okay, hold on a second, Ben.
He's currently conferencing, or he's talking to whoever's on the Seattle line and asking
hey. If
they want to be on the podcast. Yeah.
I love
me some Chinese phone spam.
Oh, no, they're still here. Oh gosh, how do I end?
I think
they're still. Oh gosh, I can't, Ben. I can't stop it.
That's how they get you.
Oh no. Okay, here we go. All right, there we go. I had the opportunity to add a call also, so I was gonna call Betty, so that she was on the phone with us and the Chinese robocall.
What I love about those Chinese robocalls.
Now, is that Chinese? That's the other question.
I don't know. I'm assuming it is, but that might just be, you know, linguist of me.
It sounds
Chinese to me.
Almost sounds Cantonese to me, but I don't know for sure.
I could not tell you the difference. Yeah, listening to those.
Cantonese to me anyway sounds a little bit more. I'm using hand gestures to describe what it's more like, but sounds a little bit more like musical than Mandarin. But that might be, I might have the two of them mixed up.
Maybe.
So never mind.
What I love about those foreign language phone spam calls.
Yes.
Is that it's a very sophisticated venture, right? They know enough. Yeah. To spoof your area code and the first three digits of your phone number.
Yes.
And but they don't know enough to wait for the voicemail to kick in, right?
Yeah, I don't get that.
The message starts right when the phone picks up, and so while your outgoing message is playing, their message is playing. So when you listen to the voicemail, it starts halfway into the message, or how, you know, depending on how long your outgoing message is. That can use some improvement. The process.
So check this out, Ben. For our listeners at home and for you, I got a new amplifier. And it has built-in distortion. Can you hear this? Are you ready? Let's see if you can hear it.
Is that from a ukulele? Is that from the Danger?
No, this is from a guitar that's tuned like a ukulele.
I can barely hear it over the phone, but maybe on your audio will be able to hear it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Anyway, but yeah, what I want to get eventually, and I think for about $200 I can do it, maybe for even less, is I want to get a ukulele that's an electric, like an electric guitar. Not like a electric acoustic, but an actual electric ukulele.
Right.
That's the dream, Ben. And then you can play your tiny drum kit. I can play my tiny electric ukulele, and we'll get Brett Fetzer to bring out the tiny piano again, and we'll have a reunion.
Yeah, a schoolyard boys reunion. Cool.
I think it would be great. Because I'm getting to the point, where I can actually play the ukulele. I'm not great at it, but famously we aren't that skilled at our instruments.
Don't get too
mostly
good.
Mostly self-taught. Yeah, exactly. It's a problem if you do. But still, I feel as though I'm getting on the bad side of good. Rather the good side of bad.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong.
I haven't played my tiny drums in quite some time. I brought them to Annex when I moved out of my house. Because I can't have a drum kit in my apartment. And and I
even a tiny one, you could say it's decorative.
I know, even a tiny one. Well, also, I mean, it's too loud for my apartment. And there's no
room. I see, yeah.
But I stuck them under the stairs or under the booth just to get them out of the way, and now I haven't been able to get them out of there for, I don't know, the past year or so.
Because all the other stuff is loaded.
Because a bunch of other stuff has been put under there now. They're kind of yes. Walled in. Well, it was we installed new seats at Annex,
mm-hmm.
and all the extra seats are now underneath the booth, and so it would just be a pain in the ass to get the drums out of there, and
they're effectively not there anymore.
But what's more important is they're not in my apartment. So
yes,
if I felt really passionate about like trying to play them late one night, I could probably get them out. But you know, or if like somebody at Spin the Bottle is like, hey, do you have a tiny drum kit I can use? I'd probably dig them out. But for the time being, they're there and they're gonna stay there.
But as we know, you can just play a bucket and still be...
Exactly. Or you could do what John Bermuda Schwartz did when he joined Weird Al Yankovic and played the accordion case.
Oh, you know, there is actually a drum where you sit on it and you play it. You play the sides of it.
Oh.
I forget what it's called, but I would be surprised if they actually based it off. Did he play it with his hands or did he play it with sticks?
He played it with his hands. He pounded on it.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if they didn't watch him and go, hey, that's a good idea. And then that's where it came
from. We had a dude who played like a weird box drum at one of the panels of our live shows.
You know what?
He told me what the name was, but I can't remember.
There was a guy who played one of those, I believe, at Annex during one of the Spin the Bottles. I wonder if it's the same guy.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that, you know, I remember this. Ivory Smith.
Yes. Our friend Matt Smith's niece, I believe.
Niece, yes. Ivory Smith did a looping thing at one of the places that we were at. She was performing. We were performing.
This wasn't to Spin the Bottle?
This wasn't Spin the Bottle. No, this was... let's see.
We had few non-Spin the Bottle performances.
So, unless it wasn't... Wait, maybe it was a Spin the Bottle. And I'm just thinking...
Do you remember what space it was in?
Yeah. Okay, so it would have been in the... It would have been in Velocity.
Okay.
And Anna Saskia. Yeah, Anna Saskia was, I believe, hosting. She was at least performing.
We were on the bill with Anna Saskia a couple times while she performed at Spin the Bottle.
Was that Spin the Bottle? Okay. So yeah. She was there, and Ivory Smith was there, I believe. Maybe it was during that era, if that's that's all I know for sure. But she performed
2002, 2003
with a looping thing.
Yeah.
And then Reggie Watts started using it like a lot. But I think I saw Ivory Smith use it before I saw Reggie Watts use it. That is not to say that he wasn't using it. But now, everybody...
Yeah.
Not everybody, but there are tons of people using them.
Yeah, a number
And for a while, it was just those two.
Yeah, a number of people who perform at Spin the Bottle make heavy use of those looping mechanisms. The first time I ever saw it, I don't remember Ivory Smith using it, but the first time I ever saw it was... I went to go see Andrew Bird at the Crocodile with some friends. And he's a he's a violinist, and he used
that looping thing. Oh, I know about Andrew Bird, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, if you're a member of the Rocketmen, you received a tape from the Commander, or a disc from the Commander that has some Andrew Bird stuff on it.
Oh, really? I didn't get one of those.
Wait, what?
I did not receive a mixed disc.
Well, I don't have one of the jackets anymore, so which of us is truly a Rocket Man, I ask you?
Anyway.
Oh, speaking of which, I haven't seen that yet.
You can watch it. You can watch it right now. It's on both YouTube and Vimeo.
Hey, shout out to Rocket Man on YouTube and Vimeo. Yeah. Check it out. Webster Kroll is a genius. I think I can say.
There was
right?
He's a Stranger Genius. He was the very first Stranger Genius Award winner for film.
He hasn't like killed anyone or done anything like that, right? This is still always my fear. Anytime I endorse anyone, I'm always worried now that if there's one guy that I think is super, it's he murdered how many people? Right. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I doubt Webster.
He said
Kroll
what
murdered
in front
anyone.
Of children?
Oh boy, oh boy. Yeah. What can we do though, Ben? Nothing. That's right.
Not do those things. That's what we can do.
That's the thing, is that I mean, I have it within myself to know that I'm not the greatest person in the world. So that ship has already sailed. You know, I've been arrested before. Or have I?
Have you?
Nobody knows. Yeah, I think it's on record that I...
You're arrested.
I did.
If somebody wanted actually, to look into that, they probably
I think
could.
They keep records of that. I'm not probably. Sure. But I
don't
think
know.
So.
Maybe there's a statute of limitations for paperwork when it comes
yeah.
to minor offenses of juveniles in the Midwest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, eventually, though, audio is going to be searchable. Somebody's going to find this, and they're going to go, ha-ha, got him. But really, I think it's already on my record. I've mentioned it. That what I'm saying is that I try to be good now. And I think that's all that we can hope for most people.
We learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. Well, one would hope. I hope. I try to.
Well, some people do. Unless you keep drilling holes in your boat.
Exactly. This is my point. Don't drill holes in the boat. That's the title of my self-help book. But I don't mean to harp on this, but there really is a thing of like, why does this keep happening? Well, did you do the things that you were told to do to stop it from happening? Well, no. Okay,
right.
That might be one reason.
Right.
That might be the reason. So who knows? Who knows? And then, as Jennifer points out, maybe it's because you don't actually want it to stop happening. You say you do, but maybe there's something else going on. Which is
a
good point.
Quite possibly.
And that's when the bear says, "You're not really here for the hunting anymore, are you?" That was a punchline to a dirty joke that I was told when I was in the United States Air Force.
Oh, jeez. I probably don't want to hear it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not great. It's not great. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't control all the people that you deal with on a daily basis. And if you could, would you? I don't think I would. Too many chance. I like having the ability to chalk stuff up to just dumb luck. Rather than, you know, if you're in charge of every single interaction you have, eventually that's going to be on you if something bad happens. It's like, why did you let that interaction occur? That kind of thing.
That's why I ascribed to plausible deniability. I had no idea what was going on.
Again, though, I like the idea. All of the startups that people had been pitching, what was it, a year ago or so, was all, hey, let's take publicly accessible stuff and just make it so that poor people can't do it. Where's Steven? I wonder. Steven did a very good job when he was on the podcast last. I listened to most of it.
Yeah.
But I did feel at some points in time that I was trying to interrupt him too much. And that if I would have just let him go, it would have been a much better podcast. But I have my ego side of me that's like, now it's time for me to say something.
Right.
Even if it, you know.
Well, I'm glad you recognize that within yourself when you're talking to Steven.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was segueing into this. I seem to realize that there's a little bit of work that I could do on, can we say, a weekly basis to make sure that I...
Even after 193 episodes, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. Wow, we're getting close to our 200th episode, Ben.
Yeah, we should do something special.
Yeah, like get a sponsor. No. Wouldn't that be funny? Ben, I would love for you to try this.
What's that?
Just ask around our friends, Seattle, whatever, and see if any of them would like to sponsor the show.
This show is sponsored by Troy.
Right. They don't have to pay us any money. I just want us to be able to say that the show is sponsored by someone, and then we I think that would be fun.
It might be a good way to get a listener to the show one at a time.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. It would be a good idea. I think it's a good bit, too. A good reoccurring piece. I think that would be nice. So, yeah, that's your homework, Ben. The only person that does anything for this podcast
now I have homework.
Is you and the only people. You and Jennifer do most of it. I just sort of show, and now granted, I do press record on the recorder here.
That's, I mean, that's not nothing.
And I do upload the thing, but you guys do most of the legwork, and I appreciate it.
Here's a quiz for you.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm ready.
We did, for a time, start talking about one of our performance pieces every week.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know where we left off?
No, I don't. do me a favor. Start from the beginning. Do you have the list
handy? I do have the list handy.
Start from the beginning, and I'll tell you if it strikes me.
All right. Improv slideshow. I know we've done that. That's the first one.
Okay, yep.
Nice Guys and Fast Women. We did that.
Did that one, yep.
Deconstructing Improv. We did that.
Did that one, yep.
I Love Oatmeal. I think we did that.
We did that one, yeah.
Okay. This Is Me, This Is My House. The debut of Butcher.
Did we talk about that?
I want to say we did.
What's the one after that?
The one after that is Introducing Goody Lawson. Oh, yes, we did do This Is Me, This Is My House. Because we did do Introducing Goody Lawson. Because that was where you read your... You were your angry poet character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I read the...
Wait.
I read the poem on the podcast.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so what comes after that one?
What comes after that one? Welcome to the new space. Spin the Bottle has a new home at Freehold Theater, and Paul and Ben are the first to welcome the audience.
Okay, I don't know if that's... Let's do that one again, even if we haven't done it, because I don't remember doing that.
Right. I have a script here. I should have emailed you the script so we could redo it.
That would be cool. Wait, can you email it to me now?
Yeah, I probably could email it to you now. Vamp while I copy and paste this stuff.
Okay, so... So, we're gonna... We're going to go ahead and, this is good vamping. I'm doing a great job.
You're doing a great job.
People love it when, hey, vamping, Halloween, happy Halloween, everybody. You know, where does a vampire put his money? In the blood bank.
Hey.
Yep, you got it. That was a good one. How come a Batman? Oops. Come a Batman. How come a Batman, everybody?
How come a Batman?
That's my question.
All right, you should be getting it sometime soon.
Okay, let me take a look. hey, here we go. Okay, ready.
All right.
Here we go.
I'll read stage directions.
Okay.
Lights up. Ben enters. Before we start the show, there are just a few things that I need to tell you. In the event of a fire, you can exit out the way you came in, or you can go around the bleachers to the fire exit behind you. Down to the relative safety, Paul enters carrying armloads of water bottles. Of the alley, Paul, I'm trying to do the curtain speech here.
Sorry, I'm late.
Did you pay for all that?
Define pay.
Define pay to the audience. Does anybody have a dictionary? You, sir, do you have a dictionary? And then we had a plant. I can't remember who it was. Might have been Joseph Krebs. Why, yes, I do. And they hand me a dictionary. And I say, thanks. Ben hits Paul with dictionary. Afterwards, they both take a bow. Thank you. Paul Goody, as the inconsiderate asshole who comes in late, even though the only entrance to the theater is upstage center of the performer. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you.
I'd like to get serious for a moment, although there are some considerations we need to make due to the new space. There are also some bonuses we can consider as well.
Like what, Ben?
Well, Paul, since we're in a theater space instead of a dance studio, we can do things in here that we couldn't do at our old space.
Shoes!
That's right, feeds Paul a marshmallow. We can wear shoes now, and I gotta tell you, it feels pretty good to be wearing shoes again.
We can also smoke.
Paul and Ben take out cigarettes. Yes, But unfortunately, neither of us smoke. They throw their cigarettes away.
And we can also do the water trick.
The water trick is a lot of fun, but we're not going to do it tonight. Paul gulps water and spits it at Ben. Because it's really messy.
And there's one more thing we can't do here that... Oh, there's more... sorry. Hey, it's just like a real show. And there's one more thing we can do here that we couldn't do in the old space.
Noise music starts. Paul and Ben run around the space throwing pillows at each other until music cuts out. Aw, Jay.
Come on. Come on.
And then Jay says from the booth, sorry, that was long enough. Oh, well. I'm so glad we're able to do that now. We're really happy to be in this new space.
And since we're no longer in the dance studio, you know what that means, Ben.
What, Paul?
Now we can finally date girls from our own theater company.
No, Paul. I'm afraid we still can't do that. Paul and Ben look, both look at the girls in the audience and sigh. Lights out. So that was from May 2nd, 2003.
Wow.
Shows you how far our comedy has come.
A very long time ago. And yeah, I do remember that we did the thing about me being a jerk coming in from the front because we wanted to let the audience know that is what they were going to be running into.
Right. So it was informative as well as educational.
And an interesting thing that you could smoke.
I think we made that up. I don't think we could have been able to do that.
Okay, probably not.
I have no idea.
But it's still pretty weird that you could just smoke indoors wherever you wanted to in Seattle during the 2000s.
Was that the one where we were going to have chair races and then at the last minute decided to do the pillow fight?
I believe so. We were going to... We had a couple of ideas. One was that we were going to... It had a lot of hitting stuff and things like that. We had one thing, and I know I've talked about this before, and I think that this is one of those instances as well, where I kept on trying to push us to do a shovel fight, which was an actual shovel fight where we would actually hit each other with shovels.
And for whatever reason, I didn't want to do that.
Well, both of us kept on chickening out. And Jennifer made the point that that would have actually been great if we had just gotten the shovels and gone really close to doing it, but never actually did it. Like, we tried to do it, but our own instincts would stop
us. Sense of self-preservation.
But, yeah, we never got to that point. Speaking of a sense of self... Sorry.
Hey, buddy!
I just realized that I tried it the last time and it didn't work, so... Yeah. Speaking of Hey Betty, Hey Betty! Okay, now she hears me. Interesting.
Selective hearing. All children have it.
Yeah.
Just one.
Oh, wait. Jennifer's coming down. Hey, what's up, Jennifer?
Hey.
Oh, there's a correction that she's...
So, last week, at the very beginning of the show, you guys were talking about... Charlie horse, having a Charlie horse.
Yeah.
And it was, you guys were talking about the shin, like the calf muscle.
Yeah.
Most people describe a Charlie, when they describe a Charlie horse, they're actually talking about their thigh muscle.
Oh, interesting. Well, for me, the pain.
Most people identify a Charlie horse as being, I'm not arguing.
So what do I call the thing that I get? What should I call that thing?
The cat thing that you got in your leg?
Ugh.
A muscle spasm?
Muscle spasm.
In my calf?
Yeah.
It just doesn't
matter. Yeah, well, that's true. It can't be a Charlie horse it's a calf.
Maybe it's a...
It's a totally different animal.
Maybe it's a James donkey.
A donkey!
It's a Juan Burrow. I don't know.
Oh, hey, Jennifer, where in Germany did you live?
Würzburg.
From times?
1984 to 1989.
And when was the Chernobyl disaster?
1986.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I My sister just had her thyroid removed because she has thyroid cancer, because they didn't tell us how much we were exposed, and nobody gave us any iodine because that's too cheap and easy and helpful. All right, bye.
Hey, time code is 55 minutes in, I think. Hey, Betty, come on over.
Hi.
Betty is running around on the bed that's down here. There's a mattress down here. And Betty's running around on it. And that's what's happening. Looks like this might be her entire segment.
You have a bed?
How's
in
it going,
basement?
Betty?
It's going all right. How are you?
Oh, oh. Oh, she got dizzy. It's just a mattress. Is
even
it
better.
Tempur-Pedic mattress. We were like, we could throw it out, but we might as well just leave it down here. So.
Yeah, I love Tempur-Pedic mattresses so much.
Yeah. They're pretty cool. But it got old. You know how they sometimes aren't as bouncy or firm or whatever? And yeah. Hey, it's Betty!
Hey.
So, Betty, you're not going trick-or-treating tonight, obviously.
Yeah, I know.
Because,
you know, Halloween parades and such.
So, are you going trick-or-treating tomorrow?
I don't know. I was planning on doing something with Toby tomorrow, but he hasn't responded to me yet.
Okay.
And I'm kind of sad about that.
Well,
I'm out of breath. Anyways,
so
kind of it.
How is it being a teen in today's America?
Stressful.
Stressful. I can imagine. What you got going on?
Starring an empire.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, Carter's one of my friends.
Yeah.
And some other just like another person.
Uh-huh.
I only have two people in it so far, like officially, but.
Officially inside your empire?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was thinking about having some of my friends join. Like, I'm gonna recruit my friend, but he isn't responding to my text.
Oh, your friend Toby, you're gonna try to get Toby into your empire also. What does having an empire entail? What is it?
I don't know. I'm gonna take over the school.
Oh, okay. Well, that's you know, Ben, this is one of those places in the movie where the adult kind of laughs off the idea, and then when he's dragged out into the street in the middle of the night, realizes that he could have stopped it all, yeah. But
you did nothing.
Too late now.
You decided to do nothing.
You better watch out.
Oh no. Yeah. Hey, just think about it, Betty. Actually, having a 46-year-old dude in your empire, you can get away with.
No adults allowed.
Okay, just making sure. I'm saying I'm available.
Set the check.
The adults will try to take over your empire though. Eventually, that's the problem. Don't trust anyone over 30.
Everyone over 30 should die.
Hey, wait. Okay, see, this is why I'm worried about your empire. Okay.
I'm kidding.
Everyone, check out the movie Wild in the Streets. It's a heartwarming classic.
And if you're over 30, watch out.
Wild in the streets, mild in the sheets.
Oh, man. Cool ranch in the sheets. Why not? Okay, with that, Betty has removed her earbud and is back. Oh, she's okay. She's gone. She's gone. She don't live here no more.
Like Holodeck said, she's gone.
Did they say that though?
There's a song called "She's Gone." It's a really great video, actually. And by great, I mean weird and nonsensical, but.
There's an old farmer, and he's walking down the road, and he's like, I don't know any of their songs, but he's singing a something girl song. It's a something
rich
and
girl.
I said, hey, he's singing, "Here's a rich girl," and I was like, hey, are you some kind of a band? And he says, no, I'm hauling oats, because he's got oats that he's carrying. This is what I'm trying to say, Ben. But I did it wrong, and I ask you to also do it wrong, Ben, and to keep it. Keep it wrong.
Paul, I implore you to do me a favor and keep it wrong.
I will do that, Ben.
Alrighty.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
See you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right.
Bye.
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 Okay. Betty, freeze.